This morning, I'd like for you to, if you have a Bible, to turn over to Psalms, over to chapter 12 and verse 30. It was one of the songs that we sang this morning, talking about loving the Lord. If I were to put a title to this message, which I don't always do, I would call it Memorizing Matters. Memorizing Matters. This morning I'm going to try to create an atmosphere whereby you can relate the four aspects of this verse to memorizing His Word and why we need to memorize His Word. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, King James Version says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. For this is the first commandment." If you go back to the Ten Commandments, you will find that those first four commandments in the Ten Commandments spoke just exactly of this, that we were to love the Lord by honoring the Sabbath, by not speaking His name in vain, and by loving the Lord. As we look at this verse, we find there are four areas we should concentrate on. Number one is the heart. That is the center of your feelings. The soul, that is the eternal spiritual part of us. The mind is the intellectual part of us. And strength is most important, carrying out what we have prepared for. You see, strength is probably one of the greatest ways that we can show the Lord that we love Him, by following His commandments, by preparing to do battle in this world. The heart, I have a few verses here. Deuteronomy 11:13 says, If ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love your Lord, to love the Lord your God, and serve Him with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5, which is a very popular verse with those who like to memorize, says, trust in the Lord with all of thy heart. Romans 10:10 says, or part of it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. When memorizing, we must be careful to protect ourselves and realize truth in Scripture. Sometimes we redundantly repeating a verse over and over, suddenly the light will come on because the Holy Spirit has helped us understand the true meaning. When I work with kids in memorizing, one of the things I do is when they struggle with a verse, I explain the verse. I tell them what that verse means. Because many times if we just try to memorize a bunch of words, it's much, much harder. But if we understand and we can have compassion and we can have that emotional part of us get excited about the Word of God, then we can memorize it much easier. Probably one of the greatest events that causes me to get excited is the second coming of Christ. Because I realize that all I do in this world, for Him, with Him, one day will come to pass. In the fact, I will leave this world and I will be with Him forever and ever and ever. And that excites me. I was sitting in the first part of the songs this morning. I was doing all the motions. Some of you may know that recently I sprained some muscles in this shoulder. And I kind of got a little bit overzealous. And so I had to quit making the motions because this body has some things that are beginning to break down. as I grow older. And so we find that it's important that we understand that God will help us through everything that we go through. I think it's understand that we need to protect our mind. We need to realize that our mind, or our heart, that our heart is sometimes very susceptible to listen to the world and take the world's view. And somebody can say something, and man, it just really touches our heart. But if we're not grounded in truth, we can be led astray. It's kind of like at times whenever people, especially young people, when they're dating, and all of a sudden they break up with somebody and they turn around, if they're not careful, they'll open their heart to anybody and everybody that comes around. And anybody can take that heart and gain it and gain power over it. In Scripture, we have the same thing. Sometimes if we're not grounded in the Word, we can let our emotions be fed on portions of verses that maybe if you were to put it in context, you would understand that that's not really what it's saying. So we need to be careful with our heart, both in the world, in Scripture, and in every aspect, that we would remain loyal to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The next thing is our soul. The soul is the inner part of us. It's the thing that will last forever. This body will begin to break down, and one day it will succumb to death. When that happens, our soul will leave this body and will go and spend time with the Lord. In Matthew 10:28, it says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Psalms 23:3 says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Here we find that it's important that at times we're going to be disheartened. At times we're going to feel like nothing matters. At times we're going to feel like nobody loves us. But the truth is, God always loves us. The truth is, God wants to pour out His love towards us. One of the things that in working with kids that I try to promote more than anything else is letting them know that God loves you. You got that? God loves you. And at this moment, I'm talking to every single person that is in this building. God loves you. And because of that, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that came as a baby. Man, can you imagine that? God had infinity. He could be everywhere. And yet He allowed Himself to be constrained to the body of an infant. He went through the process of learning how to walk, how to talk, how to understand things that were going on. And whenever He got to the point that He began to understand more, He spent time with the doctors. That means those that have had a lot of education in the Word of God. And He baffled them because of the knowledge that He had when He was only 12 years old. We need to realize that God sent His Son that we might have eternal life. And when we realize that, we realize He loves our soul. He wants to be a part of our soul. Again, Psalms 23:3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness." Have any of you ever been in a situation and you had to make a quick decision and you realized one of those decisions was wrong and one was right? That was the Holy Spirit helping you helping to guide you, helping to get you to understand that there is a greater purpose in this world than just living 70, 80 years and passing away. There's a purpose in us, and God wants us to fulfill that purpose. Here it is, when we allow ourselves to be disheartened, the Spirit of God will use the verse, the verses we have memorized to help us be encouraged. The concept we have heard the concepts that we've heard in sermons, the precepts that we have been taught in Bible studies to overcome negativity that Satan brings down on us. You know, sometimes Satan brings down directly, and he targets our life. But many times, he just targets a group, and that group is able to, through peer persuasion, encourage people to do wrong. You take a bunch of high schoolers, and they've walked a pretty good life at that point, and all of a sudden, someone comes along and introduces drugs, cigarettes, alcohol. And they say, well, I'm not part of that. But yet, peer pressure sometimes will cause them, well, it's not all that bad. Maybe I'll try it. And they begin to walk down a road that is not meant for us. And so we need to realize that if we're grounded in the Word, if we memorize His Word, if we study His Word, that we will be able to overcome these things. The third thing in this is our mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When we follow Him, whenever we set and pay attention to the things that He has brought into our life, then we have the power, the capability, the understanding what is right and what is wrong. And so we need to think about those things. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your affection on things above and not things on the earth." How many people are overly concerned about making sure that they got a nice house, not just a house, but a nice house, that they've got a new car, that they've got all these things that the world judges us by as to whether we're successful or not? Psalms number 119:15 says, "I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways." It's important that we meditate. It's important that we memorize. And for the most part, memorizing is just saying a verse over and over again until we get it, until it becomes part. And as I have memorized over the last 20-something years, fairly consistently, I find that it's important to not rely on me, but to rely on Him. I was reminded of that as I began to try to go through the first book this year. And when I got to about the second or third week, all of a sudden I realized, Garland, you're relying on your memory. You're relying on your ability. You're relying on you. And I began to realize that even though many of those verses are verses I've memorized, I've heard kids quote hundreds of times, there was still something about those verses that I personally need to spend with Him in order that He might bless me. And listen to this, and I might bless Him. You see, the problem in America today, we're worried about God blessing us, and we have forgotten the art of blessing God. You know, there used to be a time when we had testimony meetings, and people would stand up and say something that God had blessed them with that week. But when they were doing that, they were turning around and giving God the praise that He needed in order that we could bless God. It's important that each one of us maintain a relationship. You know, when me and my wife, we don't really fight that much. Although I have been telling everybody that my face, she came at me with a curling iron. That's not the truth. The truth is I went to my dermatologist every 6 months, and my mother passed away from skin cancer. My brother back there has had two different times. He's had to have skin cancer removed from his face. And so I go every 6 months, and he burns my face and gets rid of all the things that might turn into cancer. But my wife and I, when we were younger, when we fought most of the time, it was a silence in the house type of fight. And I'm afraid that's what goes on so much with Christians today. We just shut God off. I don't want to talk to you right now because I'm mad about something. Maybe something that came along in my life that you intended for me to grow with, but I got mad about it. And so we need to realize the importance of communication. We need to realize the importance of blessing God. You know, through time, there's those that believe that we have to maintain a good walk in order to be able to make it to heaven. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't do it because I have to. I don't do it because if I don't, I'm going to lose my salvation. That was already resolved. I do it because I want to show God that I love Him too. And when we begin to do it out of love rather than out of fear, then we truly are beginning to do something that will bless our Lord and Savior. See, it's a two-way street. He blesses us, but we need to bless Him. We need to do things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, I probably make this analogy a lot, but when most and many in here are either married or have been married, when you begin to get to that point where that you love someone, you begin to study them, don't you? You find out if they like fresh flowers or if they like potted plants. You try to find out what kind of sweets they like and get them. You try to find out the things that you do that aren't pleasing to them and begin to try to eliminate those things. We should do the same with the Lord. And you're not going, and a lot of people try to say, well, the Old Testament, it's for the past. The New Testament is full of grace and it's for now. I believe in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. It also says earlier in that same verse that Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we want to find out His nature, we have to go back to the Old Testament. And we have to learn even though many of those commandments are hard to swallow at times, they're meant for us. And they're meant not that we should become overcome by the inability to accomplish those things at times, but rather that we would go to Him for strength, that we might be more pleasing to Him. And so it's important that we understand the nature of God. Where was I at? Oh, yeah. Strength. Strength is probably the most and the best thing. Philippians 4:13, probably a well-memorized. Most of you could probably quote it with me if you wanted to. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth good with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. And when it comes to temptation, here's a verse for you. Some of you need to memorize it in order that when you get face temptation, you might be able to use this verse to help look for a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know, there's nothing that comes along. Like I said a minute ago, many Christians sometimes get confused whenever life throws them a curve and they can't figure out why it happened. They can't figure out how come they're going through this. Sometimes God brings obstacles in our life in order to help us to become stronger, help us to rely on Him more, help us to be able to understand that if life's a bed of roses, when you go to pick them, sometimes you get plucked by the thorns. Sometimes life will throw you things that you don't understand, but if we work through them and we rely on Him, we can become a better person for it. Another reason sometimes that things happen that we don't understand is in order that we might be able to minister to those individuals who are going through the same thing. That we can help them because we can say, "I've been there. It's happened to me. And here's how I overcame it." We need to be encouragers to those that are around us. And sometimes in order to encourage, we have to go through some of the valleys of this world. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's times that even when things are hard and we're busy and life just doesn't seem to slow down for us, that He can ease that burden. He can ease that trouble, that problem that is in our life without removing it, in order that we can learn to trust on Him. I could give you many examples in mine and Sandra's life as to when God has intervened and removed obstacles. I can also tell you that there are some times that we walk through the valleys in order to be able to accomplish more for Him. Psalms 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So when we put our faith in Him, when we put our trust in Him, He says He will be their strength. Probably one of the better illustrations would be the poem of the footsteps in the sand, where the individual goes back and he looks at his life in the sand and he sees there's a time that there wasn't two set of footprints, there was only one. And he said, "Lord, why did you leave me?" He said, "No, you misunderstood. I didn't leave you. I carried you at that time." We all go through times in our lives when things are hard and when things seem to be insurpassable. We must understand that strength is the outcome of preparation and resolve. When we win spiritual wars in our lives, it's because of the preparation, not just our abilities, but the Lord working through us. I think of athletes when I think of strength and preparation. Whenever somebody's going out for basketball, what do? They run a lot. Why do they run? They run that their legs will be strong. They run that their lung capacity would increase and their stamina would be able to make it 60 minutes in a game, that they're not going to have to just give up and go to the sidelines that last quarter of the game or sit out there and be of no effect in the game. They prepare for that. Football, I think of the linemen, whether it's offense or defense, they sit and they build up their arms, they build up their legs, and they try to learn to be able to sit and move their opponent. If they're on defense, they want to move them out of the way so they can get to the quarterback. If they are on the offense, they want to move their guy into the next guy so neither one of them can get to the quarterback. Preparation is everything. And we as Christians need to prepare for the spiritual warfare that we encounter each and every day. In conclusion, I think it's important that we understand to love the Lord with all of our heart means to yield Him ourselves. To love Him with all of our soul means we must put our souls in His care. To love Him with all of our mind, we must yield our mind to Him. To love Him with all of our strength, we must carry out what we have heard in studies, in lessons, in sermons, in conversations, and act on these precepts. I think it's important that we understand that we're not here just to walk upon the earth, live 70, 60, 70, 80 years, and then go on to be with the Lord. We're here to set and be blessed of God. We are here to bless God. And we're here. The next verse in Mark 12:31 says this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for there's no other commandment greater than these. God put an importance in loving our neighbor. One of the last things He said to His disciples was that you need to love one another. I believe Paul said that you will know that we are Christians by our love. Love is important. When it comes to forgiveness, there's verses that refer to what God's responsibility to us is in forgiveness. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He's on the other side of the world. He can't see it. The world blocks it out. Our responsibility to Him is found in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, our responsibility is to ask for forgiveness. But then Ephesians 4:32 brings it home. It says, be ye kind one unto another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. If you cannot forgive your brother, what right do you have to ask God for His forgiveness? You know, there's some things that in the Bible that are unconditional. His love will always be with us, whether we do right, whether we do wrong. But His blessings come when we're willing to do what He has said in our lives. John 15:7 says, if you abide in Me, that means we spend time in His Word. And I abide in you, that means that we set and use the Word of God to act out our life. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And sometimes Christians today wonder, well, why are my prayers not being answered? And yet they make no effect, no attempt in trying to do those things that are pleasing to Him. I explain to kids like this, if your mom tells you to go in your room and you go in there and you play, you mess the room up worse than what it was, how's she going to respond? Is she going to give you an ice cream cone? She might spank you. She might be mad at you and not talk to you for a while. She might find other ways of getting your attention. But you know, God deserves the same thing. When He says, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, then we need to pay attention to those things in order that our life is pleasing to Him. Again, I say we must carry out what we have heard in study, in our studies in the Word, heard in lessons, in sermons, in conversations, and act on these. Then we can find ourselves pleasing before a holy and a righteous God. Then we can find ourselves being able. I'm gonna ask you. You sang the song. You've heard the sermon. How many in here would quote with me Mark 12:30? If thou shalt love, the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. For this is the first commandment.